You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Only based on your reaction, I'm assuming this is the B-52s.
And heavy equipment. This is a deep cut from 1983.
You said it was a hit.
It's a huge hit in my world.
That's not what I asked. I said, is it a hit?
If you're a B-52s fan, it's a hit. There is a video behind it.
This was the lead track on what album, Michael Mackey?
Whammy!
Dang it.
Really? That's like asking me a question about Thin Lizzy.
I was trying to see if he was as big of a B-52s fan as he claims to be.
I watched a B-52 documentary about a week or two ago. I was actually blown away at how influential the B-52s were to pop music, rock and roll, to so many different artists.
Why are they not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Mackie, can you name song 2 and song 3 on Whammy?
Song 2 and song 3. No. Songs for a Future Generation?
That's song 3.
Butterbean?
No, that's song 4. See?
Swing.
I guess you just don't know the 52s as well as you think you do.
Hold on. Let me noodle Animus. That. What?
I said Swing Animus. It's a sport.
Queen of Las Vegas?
No, you're not. That's number 6.
Okay. What's number 2?
Title track, Whammy Kiss.
Oh, Whammy. Whammy! Yeah. Kiss me. Okay.
Yeah.
Scientists are warning that Washington's Mount Rainier could unleash a catastrophic mudslide that has the potential to devastate 3 large towns within minutes. Well, then why would you live anywhere near a volcano?
It's the odds, the risk. Is it going to happen today or tomorrow? Probably not.
Tell that to the people of Pompeii.
Tell that to the people of Hawaii.
Often considered the crown jewel of Washington postcards, the more than 14,000-foot-tall mountain is deemed the most dangerous in the U.S. due to its towering height, earthquakes, and precarious location upstream of a population center with more than 100,000 people. While there is no evidence yet that Mount Rainier is about to blow its stack, magma is not the most dangerous fallout from the Cascade Range's preeminent volcano. Far more devastating are lahars, am I pronouncing that correctly? Violent slurries of rocky debris, mud, and meltwater that originate on the mountain slopes and flows downhill at roughly 100 miles per hour.
Wow. I thought I was going to make it through at least one show without hearing the word slurries in a sentence, but I guess today is not that day. Slurries. Magma.
How many times do you hear the word slurries?
I was kidding. Okay. It's a very random word to just pepper up.
They have...
He's pretty.
They have found a tiny blue octopus puss species they did not know existed.
Say that 3 times.
I'm not going to do it again. I'll tell you that right now. Fascinating. It's 5,900 feet below the water's surface. Said one scientist, hey, it's tiny. It's blue.
It's so cute.
It's incredible how little we know about the rock that we live on and how much time we spend trying to discover things outside of that rock.
Well, you know, 90% of the ocean has never even been explored.
Yeah.
Yeah, this octopus found in the Galapagos Islands.
Mm-hmm. 5,900 feet below sea level.
Blue flesh, large eyes. Very cute.
It's the Smurf of the octopus family.
Can we talk about this Oklahoma youth baseball game that went terribly awry?
Oh, it got out of hand quick. There was a fracas.
The Utes of Oklahoma?
This is from the New York Post. An Oklahoma youth baseball coach has received a lifetime ban.
Oh, snap.
For allegedly telling his son to throw a ball into the opposing team's dugout during a game. I think I heard her scream, white trash.
I definitely heard her call him an SOB.
Yeah.
The son has been given a 5-year ban from playing in youth baseball. Michael Riles, he is 38 years old from Welling, Oklahoma, has received the lifetime ban. It happened Sunday during a tournament in Kansas City.
Oh, whoa, I didn't know that.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Okay. During a contest pitting 11 and under players from Oklahoma and those from Nebraska, Ryle's son, the Oklahoma pitcher, fired the ball into the Nebraska team's dugout on the third base side of the field. The umpire immediately stopped play as fans began yelling. And it appeared the first base umpire threw someone out of the game. Nebraska went on to win 8-6. The Nebraska coach said umpires ejected the pitcher, but he remained in the dugout while Ryle's did not get ejected from the venue. Are you kidding me? One spectator yelled. We just heard that. And yes, reading through the transcript, she does scream out, "You're white trash.
You son of a bee, you
son of a boop."
That happened.
What led up to it?
That happened in Kansas City.
One of the coaches took to Facebook and said, "Today, all of my boys learned a life lesson. While Easton was up at bat against Oklahoma 11, 11U's coach Michael Ryles told their pitcher to throw it at Easton's head. After Easton stepped out and told the umpire, the coach said, 'Never mind, throw it at their dugout instead.'"
Busted.
Mm. Mm. None of the players were hurt, thankfully, but...
Thank God. Can you play that again real quick, Sam?
Yeah, I want to know what led up to it.
I'm not laughing because this could have gone horribly.
It's almost like there's weights and fish.
I mean, who takes a U11, which means that they're 10 or younger.
Right.
Under 11, they're 10 or younger. Who takes that game that seriously?
Well, as you know, they're all going to be the next Bobby Witt Jr., the next mm-hmm. Mike Moustakas.
Mm-hmm. Wait, I have a
Mike
question.
Mike Trout.
What's the, you guys say the weights and fish, and I feel like it's an inside joke. What's the story there?
So there was a fishing competition a couple of years ago, and a team of two guys won the fishing tournament.
By a lot.
Yeah.
A lot?
Yeah.
Yes. Like, it's based on weight, total weight of fish, biggest fish.
And so
they had all the categories.
So people gather around this little makeshift stage. And they're up there with the weights, and they hook the fish, and the fish weighs on the scale. And there were people, and it's a large crowd. They take their fishing very seriously.
They do.
Okay? This is a competitive sport.
Like $150,000 grand prize?
There's a lot of money on the line. And there were a number of people who were screaming, "There's no way that fish weighs that much." So they took down the total of the weight, okay, whatever its poundage was, 7 pounds, I don't know, whatever, who cares. They cut the fish open, and the two fishermen who had turned that fish in before they got back to the shore were stuffing weights down its mouth.
Oh!
We got weights and fish!
There we go! That is the only part of the clip we can play because it was damn near Viking land after they found weights in that fish's belly.
It was about 5 minutes of F-bomb, S-bomb, what do you blanking have to say about yourself? I mean, you would have thought that these two guys were not going to get off that dock alive that day.
Well, the thing is,
you would have thought they burned women and children at the stake.
If they wouldn't have gotten greedy, if the fish were like a realistic, if they would have put a couple weights in, but they, you know what? They got greedy. And then they were doomed.
We got weights and fish.
There we go. There we go. String them up.
They were ultimately charged with grand larceny and ordered to repay the $150,000 grand prize
and
forfeit the boat.
Forfeit their boat.
It's a bad day.
913-586-7798. If anybody was at this, and I don't know who locally would have gone for whatever reason, maybe you just like to watch youth baseball. I don't know. Weird. But if anybody was at wherever this was in Kansas City, can tell us where it was or saw this, I would love to know. And what, to Sam's point, what is so egregious that you're going to tell your son to throw a pitch into the opposing team's dugout? And how can you not go through life without living vicariously through your son, who is 10.
By the way, telling him to throw it into the dugout after telling him to throw it at the other player's head.
913-586-7798.
Hey, let's do Will Forte at 4:30.
That's fine.
Okay, cool.
Happy to do
Will Forte interview. Saturday Night Live's Will Forte, 4:30.
913-586-7798.
We got weights and fit!
There we go!
No, Sam, you'll love this. This one's for you. From Fox News, Denver International Airport is preparing to open portions of a mysterious underground tunnel system.
Denver's?
That has long been plagued by conspiracy theories.
Mm-hmm. What are you hiding
suddenly
in the rest of the tunnels?
Sam comes alive. Conspiracy. There you are. Scooby-Doo. It's like prairie dog in there.
Air whistle? Officials announcing plans this week to convert sections of the airport's underground baggage tunnels into pedestrian walkways connecting concourses A, B, and C. The tunnels, which have long fueled speculation involving secret bunkers, lizard people, underground military facilities, will become an alternative route for passengers traveling between the terminals.
And for lizard people.
Currently, travelers primarily move between concourses using the airport's underground train system.
Mm-hmm. I love Denver's airport. I mean, it's literally out in the middle of nowhere.
That's by design.
I mean, for all the runways people. Are in a weird pattern. The barbed wire on the fence faces in instead of out.
Isn't it Denver's airport that the runways, if you look from
the aerial view,
it looks like a swastika?
Yep.
There's also, if you've ever been to the Denver airport and you're driving in, there's this giant demonic horse. It is a giant statue of a horse with beady, beady red eyes. Mm. Anyway, during the installation, when the artist, the statue maker, was putting up the horse, the demonic horse, the horse toppled off its beam and crushed him.
Mm. Sounds like devil work to me.
It's the devil's work. But if you have been anywhere near that airport, you know of which demonic horse I am referring to.
Much like the tunnels underneath the Vatican, I do not care to pay for the ones that they want me to see. I want to see the ones they don't want me to see.
Now, I've been in, and you would argue these are the ones they want you to see, but I've been through the tunnels of the Vatican, I think twice.
Which, by the way, full disclosure, I would totally pay to go into the tunnels of the Vatican, but I want to see what's down the halls they won't let me go down.
It is fascinating to walk by all of those tombs, and I believe down in those tunnels, you get up close with the what they claim are the bones of St. Peter.
Would those be crypts? Crypts.
Probably.
Crypts.
Yeah, probably.
Not like bloods and, but...
Crypt-tuses. No, we
crypts.
Cryptas.
Yeah. Sorry. I drop my T's a lot.
Okay.
What's in the other tunnels, guys?
Well.
Is that where they house Area 52?
Is there an Area 52?
I don't know.
I wish there was an Area B-52. I would go to that.
Get out.
No. I still have an hour and a half left. You can't kick me out. I still have to get through Festivus. It's a Festivus for the rest of us.
Former CIA officer David Rush's alleged years-long scheme that netted him $40 million in gold bars and a top-secret clearance has those in the clandestine secret community questioning how he slipped through the vetting process and who else may be flying under the radar. $40 million in gold bars? How do you steal that? Okay, good job, class. Test tomorrow.
I'm not surprised at all. I don't think he stole it.
I think it was handed to him on a silver golden laden platter.
Yeah. Are we at all surprised that somebody with ties to the CIA has $40 million in gold bars?
They found 303 1-kilogram gold bars worth more than $40 million, $2 million in just American currency, and 35 Rolexes.
I'd be willing to bet that if you looked at his employment history with the CIA, there's like random periods of time in his career that we're not allowed to know about it.
Sounds sketchy.
Probably tied to his gathering of $40 million in gold bars. Mm. Words are hard. Acquisition. That's the word I was looking for.
Kind of like math.
Math is hard.
I know.
I didn't do any math.
Oh, they call the Mustang, going back to the creepy devil horse.
Yeah.
They call it Blucifer because it's this blue horse. Because the artist died during its conception installation with beady red LED eyes.
Textline also says the tunnels under the Denver airport lead to the massive underground bunker that the United States is building to survive nuclear holocaust.
Now that seems on brand because it's literally in the middle of nowhere.
Well, and it is by definition and in size the largest airport in the United States. Is that correct?
Ridiculously large landmass-wise. Like, yes.
Overly big.
Yeah. Like you would think that Kansas City would have overly big because, you know, we have tons of land to play with.
Right.
And Denver blows us out of the water.
But I've never understood this idea. You know, you watch, it was a movie 2012, I think it was, with John Cusack, where, you know, there's this massive natural disaster and the world is flooding and everybody's trying to get on these special boats to survive this. At some point, don't you just give up? And realize I'm not coming out of this alive. Like this idea that we're going to survive a nuclear holocaust, God forbid there ever is one, is crazy talk.
Well, I mean, some people would survive.
And what are they going to eat when they come out?
Hey, if there's a zombie apocalypse, I am running directly into the mouth of a zombie. I'm just going to get it over with.
No, I'm not. I'm putting Zombieland on Netflix and refreshing myself with all the rules.
Like, if I turned on the TV tonight, God forbid, and somebody breaks into Wheel of Fortune, which you should never do, even if there are nuclear missiles coming to the United States.
Even if it's an apocalypse.
We apologize for interrupting your regular programming. Yeah. This is John Brokaw.
And they said, you know, Russia or China or whomever has just launched, you know, God forbid, I'm going to stop saying God forbid, that's the third time in less than a minute, has launched, you know, 40 nuclear missiles toward the United States. I'm going to look at T, grab a lawn chair, and go sit in the driveway. Call my kids, tell them I love them, and I'll see them in a few minutes on the other side. We have Fort Leavenworth literally 10 to 15 miles from my house. Whiteman Air Force Base in Warrensburg, Missouri.
Yeah.
These aren't targets?
Well, I mean, all we'd have to do is go break into your local elementary school and huddle up underneath one of the desks, and we'd be perfect.
The plywood desks?
Yeah. Yeah. It'll get her done.
Tell everybody what's coming up, Mr. Michael.
Ooh! SNL's Will Forte. He's actually in town right now as we speak for Big Slick. I got to interview him yesterday, and we're going to have a few little snippets, a few vignettes for my interview with him yesterday.
We also have Festivus Friday coming your way right after the 5 o'clock news here on Dana and Parks. Okay. All right. Okay. I can't. It's 30 seconds. I'll never get back. All right. You had a chance to sit down. Okay. That's not necessary.
It was necessary. I asked him to do it. Cue. Okay, so Saturday Night Live's Will Forte. I got to sit down with him yesterday before he flew in for Big Slick today. Obviously, he has an IMDb list a half a mile long because he has been in everything. But fun fact, I didn't know that Big Slick affectionately refers to him as Kansas City royalty. He's not even from Kansas City, but because he's been here, he's an OG. He's been here 15 of the 16 years.
I'm an OG.
You are an OG. So I said, you know what? You are Kansas City royalty. And well, here's what he had to say.
My great aunt Rose lived in Kansas City her whole life. She was in Shawnee Mission. So I had been through Kansas City, not a ton of times before I started going to the Big Slick, but certainly knew it a little bit and always liked it. But wow, I just have grown this real, very strong bond with the city over the years.
An affinity, if you will.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So my question was, since he was one of the OGs, he came to the very first, because he was on Saturday Night Live when Jason Sudeikis was on. And so they became chummy. And so when Jason Sudeikis and Rob Riggle were initially putting this Big Slick together, it was a smallish poker game. That was the one you got invited to, right, back in the day?
No, the first one was a wiffle ball tournament at the Little K.
Okay, wiffle ball. Well, he was invited to the very first one kind of out of the gate, which the poker tournament before it turned into the Big Slick that we know. And I wanted to know, how did that come about?
Yeah, it was a poker game. I can't remember why, but I couldn't come until the morning of the event. So I got there too late to actually be a part of the poker tournament, which is fine with me because I suck at poker and which I don't think is the point of the poker tournament. Like, I think it would have been fun either way, but yeah, I was there for the night's festivities and it is so different now than it was when it first started. It's so fun to have seen it grow to what it is now.
Now, the big buzz about Will Forte is that he had a movie called Coyote versus Acme, and it's an animated feature film, a comedy, and was supposed to be released a couple of years ago with a lot of fanfare, a lot of buzz behind it, and then out of nowhere, out of the ether, the movie studio decided to shelve it without any explanation at all. Well, fun fact, Coyote versus Acme lives, and I wanted to know when is it coming? I wanted to know all the details, and let me tell you, he was just a little bit more than excited.
Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! I am so excited about this. It's coming out August 28th. It's coming out for sure. They can't stop it this time. This is maybe the thing I'm the most excited I've ever been about anything. I mean, I thought that this movie would never come out. It just seemed like it was dead. And I remember when I got the news, they had told us the night before the news that they were shelving it. The producers had said, "We're all done. We want to show the cast now next Tuesday." So I was like, "Oh, that's so exciting." And the very next day was when I got a call from my agent and manager. I knew something was happening because they both called together, and that's always either a really good sign or a really bad sign. And they gave me the news. Well, they still let us watch the movie that next Tuesday. And in that week, my brain was like, okay, this thing can't be any good. They must be too close to it. It's probably not as good as they're saying it is. And then when I went and saw it, it was the exact opposite. It was even better than I thought it would be. It was so frustrating to know that this movie was not gonna ever be seen by anybody. It was something I could share with my kids. You know, I've made a bunch of gross, dirty movies in my time that I don't want my kids to ever see. So finally there was something that I could share with them. I am so excited for people to see this movie.
And finally, the legendary Will Forte will be in town for an entire month starting in August. Both Heidi Gardner and Will Forte are simultaneously shooting separate movies here, yes, in our fair city. And I was like, wait, I thought you were in Heidi Gardner's movie. He's like, no, this is my own movie. And so I, of course, wanted to know what he's shooting.
It is a crazy comedy. It's like this. The way that I heard it described was it's very futuristic. It's like a dystopian punk comedy. It's so fun. It's me, Eric Andre, Tiffany Haddish, and I think Sarah Sherman. And just very excited. Obviously I love Kansas City with all my heart, but a lot of them are such focused trips, to come in, because I not only come there for Big Slick, but I come for Steps of Faith has that show Thundergong in November, and then there's a game night now that happens in May or April. I just did that a couple weeks ago, so now I'm there two or three times a year for the last 16 years I've been coming, so I feel like I know the city so well, but at the same time I don't know it well at all, so I'm excited to finally do a deep dive when I get out there.
It's like the mothership is calling you home. I'm here for it.
I love Will Forte. He is the most down to earth.
He seems very nice.
He was super chatty. We had 15 minutes. He talked for like 30. It was amazing. If you want to read the whole entire article, which is kind of turned into my magnum opus, you can read it in the pitchkc.com. It just came out yesterday.
What happens when, because your book, accomplished author Michael Mackey, is entitled You Have 4 Minutes, but when you get 15 with somebody like Will Forte and he seems to be enjoying the interview, it's going over. How do his handlers get in touch with you and go, wrap it up?
Now, you know what? I was blessed and highly favored because there were no handlers. It was just like, what? I have Will's number. I have Will's email. He's like, hey, buddy, what's going on? And we just chatted. Huh. And I said, hey, I want to be respectful of your time. And then he wanted to talk about his love of sandwiches and how much he loves King G Deli in town. And then
my gosh.
That led into something.
What does that mean right there?
Jim's Italian beef is absolutely incredible.
So King G Deli, shout out. You're going to probably have a Will Forte appearance this weekend and then multiple times in August when he shoots his new movie.
Where is it? I've never even heard of it.
It's in the Crossroads, 18th Street, I think. King G's is the bar on the corner, and then there is the deli, and then the third location, it's all kind of one place. They're all connected, is Jim's Alley. And if you get the Italian beef, you will never want another sandwich
really
ever again in your life.
Huh.
As a now gluten intolerant human, well, now that I know that I'm gluten intolerant, I will still suffer the consequences
the following day
to go get that sandwich.
So I am now officially a stan of Will Forte. I've never interviewed him before. I've probably been in the same room with him at least 10 times, but now we got to chat. And so he'll be he's going to be a big
Slick
presence at Big Slick this weekend. So good for him. Okay. Thank you, Will Forte. I owe you one, brother.
A story here from Fox 4. Lawn care is not a job for everyone. Quoting here from Emmanuel Holmes, the owner of Personal Touch Lawn. We put in 10 hours a day, 6 days a week. It's a lot of weeding. It's a lot of walking. It's hot. Sometimes it's cold. Sometimes it's wet. And a freshly cut lawn can make a huge difference in a community. Holmes has been in business for nearly 3 decades, reliably providing lawn care services across Kansas City for residential, commercial, public properties. We never missed a week, said Holmes, referring to 2 apartment complexes that eventually began missing payments. He now claims they never paid for his work last summer. The total, $25,000. That's a lot of money, said Holmes. I went inside, gave the manager invoices personally, emailed the manager, emailed Arnold and the district manager. He said he did all of this before the 2 properties sold earlier this year. The management company telling Fox 4 that Holmes sent the invoices late, which goes against email documentation provided by Holmes. Nonetheless, they say they have every intention of paying Holmes.
Then pay up. If you're $25,000 behind, what do you Cha-ching. Mean they sent the invoices late?
Tick-tock.
What would be late? A week?
Yeah, was it like he sent them to you on the 5th and you were supposed to get them on the 31st? It sounds to me like you're behind an entire summer.
They are on 2 separate apartment complexes.
Yeah, I'm not buying it.
And yet he provided proof, Emmanuel did, that his email invoices went out on time.
At what point as a business owner do you stop rendering the service unless payment is made up front. Because an entire summer to me, I would have been calling him a month in, like, hey, man.
I probably would have stopped after a month.
You owe me $2,000 for last month. You haven't done it. What's going on?
I probably would have stopped after a month.
Yeah.
And just said, screw you. Let the grass grow and the city can ticket you for noxious weeds. And
right.
If you're willing to pay up, I'm willing to come back out.
I don't know how we end up cracking down. And I'm not making this accusation about this particular
notice apartment. I didn't name the apartment complex.
Oh, good. So I can say whatever I want to. Good. We need to figure out how to crack down on these. I don't want to call them slumlords, but they come in as private equity firms. Mm-hmm. They buy up a bunch of low rent apartment complexes mm-hmm. and let them fall into disrepair, and they do not care. I lived in one of those apartment complexes. It had recently been bought up right before I moved in. It had a history of problems. It's not the nicest area where I lived, but I kind of expected them to, you know, keep up with things like the elevator.
Or pest control.
Definitely pest control. Yeah, I had a few thousand roommates that I did not enjoy having. There were elderly people that lived in my building that used walkers and wheelchairs, and our elevator worked. I lived there probably 2 years. I think our elevator worked for 2 months out of those 2 years.
Isn't it required by law?
Yeah, oh, yeah. And oftentimes they would come out.
With the ADA?
So they would have somebody out, and they would work on it, and then it wouldn't work.
Huh. What floor did you live on? You lived on the third.
Third
right?
floor,
that's
yep.
right.
So I would take two flights of stairs every single day. There were times that I would come home and there was some, I think he was like 91 or 92, old man with a cane. He would be sitting on like the fifth step with his groceries.
Oh.
And I would offer to carry his groceries up for him, and he would insist that I not do it every single time. And a couple of times I was like, you can tell me no all you want to. These groceries are going to your floor.
Good for you, buddy. Good for you, man.
I don't know how we put a stop to it because they move in and...
Fines.
I don't have the money to buy up these apartment complexes.
Right. The only thing that they will understand is money. You have to hit them where it hurts. And that's in the pocket.
I mean, they redid the entire warehouse. Like, probably $2 million in renovations. I say warehouse. Clubhouse. To the leasing office. And we're living with thousands of roaches. Our top floor flooded out and they just left it.
Ew.
Gross.
Yeah.
So did you have to take care of the roach problem yourself?
No, I left.
Oh, yeah, of course. 913-586-7798. We have the airing of the grievances coming your way right after 5 o'clock. Michael Mackey in for Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ. Ooh, we are closing in on Festivus here in a few minutes. The airing of the grievances. Make sure you get in early when you hear us go to the news. Sam has literally just cleared every phone line. They're open. He is ready to go. 913-586-7798. Apparently, Vladimir Putin has spent roughly $26 billion in his country's money on research to try to see if he can live forever.
Who knew that he was a biohacker?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Who knew?
Some of the avenues that Vladimir Putin has pushed include growing human organs inside pigs for transplant into humans in a procedure I can't pronounce, xenotransplantation.
Ooh, ooh.
And 3D printing live tissue in a practice known as bioprinting. Mm-hmm. He's also putting himself into some sort of bizarre freezing chamber or taking cold baths or whatever to slow the aging of his skin.
That actually does work.
Mm-hmm. And has apparently floated the idea of just continually going through organ transplants. So like when his, you know, if his heart is starting to get out,
right.
give out, have somebody else's heart implanted into him. If his kidneys are starting to give out, have somebody else's kidneys implanted in him.
Well, he's got the resources to do it, and if he wants to be healthy, I guess go for it. I just hope he's not experimenting on, innocent Russians to try to figure out what works and what doesn't.
I hope he gets to go meet the devil. I think he's Satan on Earth.
Well, he sucks, yeah.
He's a horrible human being.
Horrible.
How do you really feel? Don't hold back.
I hope he gets to go see Satan soon.
Okay.
I hope he gets boyet itches down there and it never goes away.
Amen to that.
Right.
And it gets worse at night.
Uh-huh. And he can't. Never mind.
Festivus Friday coming your way in just a
Festivus.
Few minutes. Get in early. 913-586-7798. Lines are open. 586-7798.
Call now.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at kmbz.com.